Master, Master, we are here. Master, we are here. Master, we are here. We are here for.
Spirit, we are here.
Spirit, we are. Spirit, we are here. Spirit, we are here. We are here for you.
Come near to God, and God will come near to you. The Spirit and the Bride says, come. Let those who are hungry come. Let those who are thirsty come and drink of the water of life. Friends, let us draw close to God now. Just as you are, immediately step into God's presence. Immediately open your heart and say, Lord, here I am. I thank you for the week that is past and gone. I thank you, Lord, for your protection, your blessings, your goodnesses. Give God thanks now from your heart. Think of God's goodnesses to you. Think of how you experience God's love and God's protection and God's help along the way. Give God thanks and praise. For he is worthy of our praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. And yes, the Lord is good to all, good to you. Gracious God, we thank you from our hearts, and we worship you. The Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Now, as we sense God's presence here, let us reach out for ourselves, and let us bring our needs. Our hurts, our issues, our struggles. What is it for you? What are you dealing with? Talk to God about it now. Yes. And sense God's presence in your life, feel God's touch even on your body. Know that the Lord is near. Hear God speak to you. Receive a blessing. Deepen your soul now. Open wide your heart. Let God bless you. Pray for our country. Pray for our world, our troops in Afghanistan, other places. Lift a prayer now for them all. Let's pray for people in need, friends and relatives, people we know who are not doing well. And pray for those who care for them, whether in hospitals or at home, sitting with just another person not doing well and giving comfort and support. Lord, we pray for all who are broken, those who are hurting, those who are living in the shadows of life, and those that stand alongside them, helping them to endure, helping them to cope, helping them to get to their next stage. Be with all. Lord, as you look down upon us here today, in this place. Now pour yourself out richly on our souls. Speak to us through your word. And as your word come forth this day, may this seed fall on good ground, good soil, so that it would bear fruit to life eternal. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. So, Lord, we have done it, and we thank you that you're here now so near to us. These things we ask in the name of the one who taught us in our praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the Dare 2025. Please come back with me to a scripture for today from the book of Psalms 102. Before us, we have a psalm of complaint or a psalm of lament, a psalm that speaks about loneliness. And it comes to us today as a people who live in a world in which people say we have a widespread epidemic of disconnection. We live in a society that produces lonely people. A Gallup poll not ever too long ago pointed out that 4 out of 10 Americans admit frequent feelings of intense loneliness and depression. I wonder if there is anyone among us here today who does not know a song about loneliness. Can you think of one? Oh, lonesome. Oh, lonesome. Me. At least one person knows it. Oh, Paul Anka's song, I'm Just a Lonely. You people don't listen to the radio? I'm from the islands and I know these things. I'm just a lonely boy, lonely and blue, right? Yeah. And Gilbert O'Sullivan, Alone Again, naturally. Yeah, okay, good. You get it. You're waking up at last. I know you know this stuff. Yes. Loneliness is called the most desolate word in the English language. Perhaps the most bitter form of loneliness is the loneliness people experience, even though they are surrounded by many other people. The great poet Alfred Lord Tennyson, after visiting Queen Victoria in her palace, he commented, "Up there in all her glory and splendor, she was lonely." And three of the most idolized women of the 20th century, Marilyn Monroe, Judy Garland, Princess Diana, are known for their lonely lives. And none less a person than Albert Einstein once remarked, "It is strange to be known so universally and yet be so lonely." So what is this thing called loneliness? It isn't just being alone, it is rather feeling disconnected. It is about how you feel about being alone that's loneliness. Loneliness is not solitude. Solitude is voluntary withdrawal from people, maybe for a time of reflection, devotion, etc. But loneliness is something that is imposed on us. It is forced on us against our wills. Now, you could have a time of solitude and be refreshed and be rejuvenated, but loneliness is painful, it's draining, it drags you down. When you're lonely, you get the feeling of what? Something is missing somewhere. Something is broken on the inside. And so this feeling of loneliness sweeps down on us. It hangs on, it hovers, it holds on, and we just can't shake it. Yeah, I'm just a lonely boy, lonely and blue. And so in Psalm 102, we have a lonely man. And he gives us something of his experience of loneliness. So let us look at it today. First of all, he feels isolation. He feels isolation. And in verse 5, verse 24, he talks about his isolation in terms of his days and his bones. "For my days," verse 3, "pass away like smoke. My bones burn like a furnace," whatever sickness he had. And in verse 5 he says, "Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my skin." And in verse 24 he said, "Oh my God, I say, do not take me away at the midpoint of my life." This is a rather young person facing death. "You whose years endure through all a generation." In other words, you're never going to die. Why should I die so young? He is a lonely man. But his clearest expression of his loneliness, not found so much in those verses, but in verse 7. "I lie awake. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop." Now, we could all see that picture in our minds, right? I'm like a lonely bird sitting on a housetop. We talk about birds of a feather flock together. Not this bird. He is a lonely bird. He has been, let us say, left behind, forgotten and broken, disconnected and distant. "If I had wings like a bird, I'll fly away." This bird can't fly. Left alone. We have seen birds like that, right? Once in a while in my backyard, I would see a goose there that somehow can't make it anymore. He'll crawl down or whatever it is into the water, swim around, but can't take flight. All alone. Now, birds function in the flock. There's something of a social group here. And birds like to live with other birds, have buddy birds, and do bird things together. Yeah, bird things. I hope that's not a bad expression. You know, I know a lot of phrases and things in this culture. So the flock creates vitality for the bird. The flock keeps its existence, the bird's existence, fresh and alive and interesting. The bird thrives with other birds. But when you take a bird and you cage it up, anybody have a caged bird at home? You don't have to raise your hand. When you take a bird and you cage it up, it gets bored. It may even become neurotic. And it starts to pluck its feathers and act all crazy. And what is the bird trying to tell you? I am lonely. I'm lonely. An only bird is a lonely bird. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop. He feels isolation. And so in life, it's like that for some of us, ain't it so? We feel alone. Oh yes, I could see a lonely bird on a housetop. The lonely goose that walks around the lake, not another goose in sight. Lonely bird. There was an advertisement in a Kansas paper some years ago, and it simply said, I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Now, some people read it and thought it was, you know, a hoax or a joke or something like that. But soon after, the ad hit the public. Within a short time, 10 to 20 calls came in those early days for people feel loneliness and would just talk their problems into another person's ears nonstop for $5. He feels isolation. I'm like a bird, a lonely bird. On the housetop. How do you feel? How do you feel? What do you sense? When you leave here, where are you going? How would you feel when you get there? The lonely bird. But secondly, he doesn't only feel isolation, he fears rejection. He fears rejection. As it were, in all of this, though he is a man of prayer, as we can see from the psalm, he feels that God is silent, that God knows his ringtone, and when he calls, God doesn't pick up an answer. He feels cut off from others, cut off from God. He fears rejection. The lonely bird on the housetop. And so there is this thing of social isolation that makes us feel at times there is just complete rejection. And how we cut off people in life? What's the worst punishment short of death in the penal system? Solitary confinement. And what do you do with somebody who has really offended you that you really can't get away from, you know? You give them what? The silent treatment. And so verse 1 through 3, he says, look at it. Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me on the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily on the day when I call. Now, this man has no inhibitions at all. What do you think? He is telling God, come on, don't ignore me. Don't hide your face. Look at me. And when I call on you, answer me that same day. Don't put me on hold. Answer me. Do not ignore me. Hear my prayer and hear it speedily. He has a problem. And now God is becoming a problem as well, feeling rejected by God. So the psalmist teaching, the psalmist is here teaching us that it is all right to complain to God and to complain to God about God. I don't like how you're treating me. Hear my cry. Answer me. Even though you may feel that God hides his face from you, do not hide your feelings from God. Lord, here I am, sitting like a lonely bird on the housetop. That is the sense of rejection. Rejection. So when we feel that rejection, that isolation, what do we do? In his case, he finds consolation. But not in the way that we may think. Because today, when we feel isolation or we fear rejection, what's our immediate response? Well, maybe we'll turn to a dating service, huh? The younger people, right? Something like eHarmony to find our soulmate. I feel disconnected, so I need to reconnect. Let me find somebody for my life. But your problem of loneliness may be deeper than that. Nobody on this earth may be able to help you with your lonely situation. I'm not into contemporary music, but I remember some years ago at Oxford, England, I used my little travel radio just to bring something in. And this song kept coming all, it was like, I got a lone radio station, only one, coming in well, and it had this song all the time that had a line, two is the loneliest number since the number one. And here's some from that song. One is the loneliest number that you would ever do. Two can be as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. Again and again, two is the loneliest number since the number one. Finding your soulmate, you could be just as lonely. Because loneliness is often deeper than having another person around you. So we may turn to a dating service, those who are still in the dating business. Where else would we turn? Well, what about a social network? Social network. After church one Sunday at my last church, I think I made a mistake. I went by the little song booth area, and you know, these youngsters were there, and you know, taking the recorded service and transferring and things like that. So I got to chatting with them, and they told me, well, we're putting it on Facebook. Well, Facebook, huh? Well, maybe I should check this thing out on Facebook and see what is there that people would be seeing or hearing. So there and then I signed up for this Facebook thing, friends. I regret it. Because later on people are kind of, Pastor, can I be your friend? Can you be my friend? And I am not sure how to be pastor and friend. Kind of, you know, I haven't been taught that yet. You know, I'm still working on myself. Can I be your friend? Can you be my friend? I've never asked anybody to be my friend on Facebook or anywhere else. And but for in the early days, the friend requests I get, I'm not responding. Is that rude? I don't know what the whole thing means. I'm not I regret going on this Facebook thing. And maybe I visited the site. I haven't been there yet for this year. This is April. I've been there a couple times since. And there are some people with whom I have no relationship, and they're my friend. So does this social media thing really work? Does it help our loneliness? Research has shown, for you social network people, that the ideal number of Facebook friends you need is 302. That's enough. That's enough so that you do not appear pathetic. And it is also the case that if you have that many, you won't appear to be too needy or desperate. Well, I am most pathetic, proudly so. But let us get back to this. Does having that many virtual friends really help us with our inner loneliness? Does a little picture in a box on the side help me when my life is falling apart? We turn to social media. But I should let you know that Cameron Marlowe, Facebook's in-house sociologist, said, if you're a woman and you have 500 friends on Facebook, you may only do about 26 postings to pages there. And you may only actually communicate with about 16 of them. And if you're a man, it is 17 and 10. I'm a lonely bird sitting on the rooftop. Where do I get help? He turns to God Almighty. God in whose image he is made. And he says to God, here am I, the lonely bird on the rooftop. Hear my cry, O Lord. Hear my prayer. Do not hide your face from me. Turn to me and answer me. And he knows that this will happen. For in verse 17 we read, God will regard the prayer of the destitute. He finds consolation. God will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayers. In other words, God will not be the last responder. God will be the first responder in your time of need. In verse 19 and 20, God looks down from his holy height. From heaven, the Lord looked on the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die. There is a God who would hear us, who would be a friend to us, who would draw near and lift us up. This psalm tells us about how this man wrestled with his loneliness. He feels isolation. He fears rejection. But he finds consolation. He is a man of faith. And this is what people of faith would do in their times of loneliness. They come to God. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop. But you are the God who hears the groans of the oppressed, and you deliver them. And so our resurrection faith teaches us, friends, that we have one who is with us. We need not be strangled or be stifled or be suffocated by our loneliness. The Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, said, before ascending back into heaven, I am with you always to the end. To the end. I will not leave you without a comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. He will be in you and with you. Come unto me, all who labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. When you feel like a lonely bird on the housetop, know that God is there, even on the housetop, sitting next to you. But you may say, I don't feel as though God hears me. I feel like this man. I fear rejection. I don't think God hears me. He does. We have to learn how to listen. We have to learn how to wait. But we are just too busy. Always have to be doing something at a given time. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Listen. Turn off the noise. Listen. And he speaks. I'm surprised how often an answer comes to me. He speaks. He comes. There's a little story of a man who lost a very valuable watch in an ice house. And he and his fellow workers combed the place, every square inch of the place, as it were. They combed it looking for that most valuable watch. Couldn't find it. And a little fellow in the area heard about what had happened. And during the lunch hour that day, he slipped into the ice house. He closed the door. And it seemed as though as quickly as he went in, he came back out, not too long, with a watch in his hand. And they asked him, "How did you find it?" He said, "Well, I went into the ice house. I closed the door. I lie down quietly on the floor, and I began to listen. And I heard tick, 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 tick." God doesn't speak. We don't listen. Quiet your heart. When you come here on Sunday mornings, come ready to receive. Come with an open heart. Spend the early moments before the service in meditation. Read the scriptures. Read a hymn, the pew Bible. Just start listening to God. In the prayer time, open yourself. "Lord, I'm listening. I'm ready to receive. Speak to me." All of that puts you in a state to receive. Be blessed. Your devotions at home. As you walk around, as the days get better, you see nature. Look. Think about the tree maker, not just the tree. Don't just look at the water. Think of the one who made the water. Don't just look at the moon and the stars. Think of the one who made moon and stars. And listen. He will speak. Come near to God. God will come near to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. So this place and this hour is the time when we bring our stuff to God. You come here today with issues, you should never take them back. Lay them on God's altar. Place them in God's hands. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. He will bring good things to pass. Amen. Number 510, "Come ye disconsolate."
Tell your anguish.
rivers flowing flowed from them. You're a new birth. Come to the feast of love. Come for knowing. Earth hath no sorrow but him can remove.
Let us pray. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't remove. We bring ourselves before the Lord. Whatever our need, whatever our inner pain, whatever our frustrations, maybe our loneliness, our sense of isolation, disconnection, and nobody cares, no one is there. Whatever it be, that the Lord is here today to help you out. So before you just go back to life, pause and think for a moment. You entered God's house today. You entered God's presence. The Lord is in this place. What are you taking back? Now, what are you leaving here? Would you leave some of your sorrows, or all of them, your griefs, your hurts, your loneliness, your guilt, your sins? Would you leave these things? How do you do that? You simply say, Lord, this is on my mind. This is bothering me. This slows me down. This is not good for me. I confess it. I own it. I repent of it. I give it to you. Lord, take it away. Yes, such you could leave here today. And what do you take? Lord, grant me your joy. Grant me your peace. Grant me forgiveness. Grant me your mercy, your love, your presence. Yes, and these are the things we could take with us. You can step out of this church today a person different from the person that came in here. Yes, you can step out lighter, stronger, better, full of hope. Yes, that is possible through the presence and the power of the Lord. So, Lord, we give ourselves. Free us and set us free to ever live for you who died for us. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now let us give our gifts to God.